Chapter 2. Ned looks grouchy when they all get on the bus for River Run, and Arya sits next to him instead of Gendry. "What's going on?" she asks him, kicking her bag under Lyanna's seat. "The usual," he mumbles sadly. "What's usual?" Arya asks gently. "She hasn't dreamed with me in a week," he says, looking down at his hands. "And it fucking sucks, all right?" "Has she..." Arya pauses, picks her words carefully. "Has she said anything about it? Maybe she hasn't been dreaming about anything at all." Ned looks at her sideways, and Arya feels stupid for having said it. Ned knows Sansa better than Arya ever will. "If she didn't dream at all, she wouldn't look guilty in the morning. I know she's dreaming with him." His words are bitter and pained, and she wonders what it must be like for him. The whole point of soulmates was that you weren't supposed to get jealous. You were supposed to have someone you could always turn to, who would be out for you always. But Sansa has two, and as far as Arya knew, Ned and Sandor only have Sansa. Sandor isn't even nearby. He's volunteering, doing some logistical work at a monastery, and Sansa has never even expressed any inclination to, well, Arya wouldn't know. She and Sansa don't talk about this sort of thing. She actually made it a point to keep Sansa off the subject of soulmates. At first, it had been because Sansa would go all starry-eyed and talk about how romantic it was and how lovely and perfect it would all be. These days, it was more because bringing up soulmate dreams made Sansa's gaze drop to her hands. It's not unheard of, having two soulmates, the way Sansa does. Arya had read some teen novels about such cases in high school. They'd all seemed that much more exciting before it happened to Sansa, though. And given that Bran sometimes did the same thing if Arya wanted to talk about her soulmate, it made Arya wonder if they hadn't all grown up with false hopes, looking at how perfect and adorable their parents were. Except they shouldn't have, because of Jon. Maybe the Stark family was just cursed or something. Sansa with her too, Bran not being in love with Jojen, Arya unable to see hers's face, and Ygritte? Isn't there some sort of way that you can, I don't know, work it out so it's fair? She asks. I shouldn't have to, Ned mutters. I shouldn't have to. She's my soulmate. It's supposed to just be us. Why does he get to have a full week of her? I don't get that. Maybe he's having a bad time? Arya suggests. She remembers Sansa having told her that Sandor has a lot of issues. Drinking, violence, disillusionment, not to mention the whole host of problems that came from having a brother who'd once tried to kill him. Sansa said that usually their dreams involved him crying in her arms while she sang to him. Arya hadn't rolled her eyes outwardly, but there was definitely some part of her that was not surprised that this was how Sansa spent her soulmate dreams. Arya preferred playing baseball. So? I am too, Ned mutters, before shaking himself and looking chagrined. You're right, though. I'm not. Not in comparison, anyway. And besides, I still see her every day. It's not the same. She never feels fully mine when she's thinking of him. Even sex is... He pauses and blushes, and Arya rolls her eyes.
I know you and my sister have sex, Ned. You live together.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're supposed to talk about your sex patterns with your girlfriend's sister.
Probably not, but you started it. And I'm not traumatized yet, so you might as well keep going.
Well, when she dreams with him, the sex is distant. And that's not how it's supposed to be. If she alternates with us, it's usually fine, but I don't know. I just feel in a lurch.
Arya squeezes his hand. She'll be back in your dreams soon enough, I promise. She never likes hurting people.
Ned smiles wryly. You're both like that, I guess.
They win against River Run, but the boys lose, which puts them at pretty much equal in the league, since the boys won against Gulltown, where they lost. She sits with Gendry on the bus ride back, giving each other a rundown of their games. The way he talks about it, his eyes so intense she can't look away from them, it makes her wish, not for the first time, that she could watch their games. She hadn't even been pitching this one. It had been Weasel who had. But the thought of leaving her team's bench to go to the next field over and watch the boys was a horrible and traitorous thought. Besides, Weasel had looked so nervous during the top of each inning while she sat and waited to take the mound again, and had looked positively devastated with each hit she'd given away. Arya couldn't have left her like that. So Arya contents herself with listening to Gendry until the bus lulls her to sleep and her head droops onto his shoulder. "What's your mom like?" she asks him, as her arm arcs and she sends the ball spinning towards home. He smacks it and it gets lost in the stadium lights for a moment. Then Arya raises her mitt and it lands right in her hand. "Nice one," she grins. "Tired of running for the dugout, really," he says. "How come you never dream the feeder out by the mound?" "How come you never do?" she shoots back at him. "These are your dreams," he shrugs. "My dreams?" That's odd. She'd always thought they were their dreams. "What do you mean by that?" "You're the one that sets them up because you go to sleep before I do." She'd never noticed before, but now that he mentions it, he always arrives at the field after her. "I don't mind, of course. There'd be some variation if I did it, but yeah, they're yours." She frowns. "I still don't." "It's in dream psych. Did you ever take any?" "No," she says quickly, biting her lip. She should have. It was as common a psychology class as intro. Hell, it was a huge part of intro. But she decided to be clever and take human emotion instead, before learning that she didn't like psychology very much and dropping it as a field altogether soon thereafter. "Well, dream psych says that each of us has a say in dreams, and that's why you get different kinds all the time. It's based in variation." "So, what would you dream about?" she asks. "I don't know," he shrugs. "I guess that's why we're playing baseball, isn't it?" He taps home with his bat, and she sends him another pitch. This one sails so far away it mixes with the twinkling stars overhead. He doesn't run around the bases this time. He just walks to the mound and stands in front of her. He's neither shorter than her nor taller than her, she realizes. And yet, somehow both at the same time. It's eerie. "Can you see me?" he asks. "Of course I can, idiot," she says, poking him in the chest and the stomach at the same time. "Nah, you can't, can you?" "I can. What do I look like then?" he demands. "Like," she scrambles, "you've got a big, stupid face." "You can't say, can you? Because you can't see." He turns around and walks back to home plate. "Can you see me?" she asks after him. He's walking backwards now, facing her fully, and he calls out, "Clear as day." And she feels hot shame burning in her stomach. Clear as day. It's all she can think of the next day. The sensation of hot shame doesn't go away, but confusingly enough, it mixes together with some sort of chilling guilt, which leaves her feeling even worse. He sees her perfectly clearly, knows what she looks like and everything, and she knows he's got a nice set of muscles and a really nice ass, but apart from that, and what does she even say to him about that? Is there anything she can say? She should know by now, shouldn't she? Should know how to make him feel better that she hasn't got a clue what he looks like. But she doesn't. She barely knows anything about him. And suddenly the fun they've had playing baseball all these years, relaxing games after long days of school, seem like they don't really count towards anything. Because she realizes the only thing she really knows about him is that his dad's a moron who made him hate the wolves. He dodged the question about his mom, and she doesn't know anything about him. Except the baseball. She told Gendry that baseball was important, that baseball was the only thing that mattered. But suddenly she feels like baseball had just been... She's not sure. It hasn't kept them apart from one another, but it hasn't made them closer, has it? She wonders what Gendry gets up to with his soulmate that makes her feel so distant to him. She wonders if her soulmate plays catch with his friends and complains about how she can't see his face. The thought makes her so upset that she does what she always does when she's sad. She calls John. And, on top of that, he picks up for once. "Hello?" he asks glumly. And it's as if every thought in her head up until that very moment has completely evaporated. "How are you holding up?" she asks him. "Why is that always the first thing everyone asks me?" he demands angrily. "I'm not holding up fine, thank you very much. Is that what you want to hear?" "Yes," says Arya, even though it breaks her heart to say it. "I'd rather hear how you are than you pretending to be happy or not or whatever." "I wouldn't pretend to be happy," Jon snaps. "No, I know. But you'd pretend not to hurt. You'd shove it down somewhere. March on like some sort of stoic soldier. She wouldn't want that." "Don't tell me what she'd want," Jon says darkly. "Don't even think of it. I know what she'd want." "You don't have to bite my head off," Arya says quietly. And she hears Jon sigh on the other end of the phone. The sigh turns into bitter laughter fairly quickly. And when it doesn't stop, she wonders if he's crying. "You don't think you'd miss someone when you're asleep, would you?" he asks, and he's definitely crying. She can hear it in his voice. Arya doesn't know what to say. "You'd think it would be a little easier, but it's harder because you go to a place and she's just not there anymore. She's gone." "Do you ever want to help someone and they don't want to let you help them?" she asks Gendry. They're sitting in the student union again, and their beers are empty on the table in front of them, and the dragons are down 5-1 against the lions, and Arya's not quite in the mood to make fun of Gendry for it. He glances at her and rolls his eyes. She elbows him. "That was a serious question, butthead," she snaps. "Sorry, I was just rolling my eyes because it's dumb, and the answer is obviously, obviously." "What's that supposed to mean?" He leans forward, resting his elbows on his knees, and she notices how broad his shoulders are as he does it. No wonder he's their slugger. He's made to hit home runs. "It's the human condition to resist people who are trying to help you. I do it. You do it. Everyone does it. Why?" "My brother," Arya says. "The one whose soulmate died last year. And he's still a mess." The teasing look on Gendry's face fades into one of pity, and he grimaces. "Sorry about that. I shouldn't have been flippant." "No, but it was honest," she says. "Gods, what is it with Starks and soulmates? Nothing works out right, does it?"
"I wouldn't know about that," said Gendry. "But yours seems to be okay, even if you can't see his face."
"He can see mine," Arya mutters. "Told me so."
She turns her attention back to the television, watching as Blount strikes out again.
"Well, that's good, isn't it?"
Gendry's trying to be cheerful. She can tell. He sounds all forcefully jovial.
"Except that it means I'm broken, doesn't it? I don't want to see his face or something. Like I'm scared to. Isn't that what they say in Dream Psych?"
Have you taken Dream Psych? Gendry asks dryly. No, I've told you. I took human emotion. Ah, learned how to be a proper human then. Oh, shut up. There are all sorts of reasons you might not be able to see his face, Gendry says. Could be on your end, could be on his. It'll happen when it happens. And for whatever reason, there's nothing broken about it. Or you, or him. It's just not lining up properly.
Why not, though? Arya says.
Because then there'd be no fun involved, and who even wants an easy life anyway? Look. He pokes her, and she looks at him. Soulmates are supposed to be more trouble than they're worth, right? Isn't that what you always say? Isn't it kind of a good thing, then, that yours is proving a proper challenge? Or are you all talk? She doesn't know how to respond, so she sticks her tongue out at him. His eyes drop to it, and he grins. Jack and Luke host a party that night at their house, and everyone from the team's going. And Arya puts on a shiny top with a low back that makes it clear she's not wearing a bra, before letting Beth know not to wait up. Beth is knitting and watching Winter Winds and just waves her away. They've figured out their routine in the years they've been rooming together. Everyone is completely smashed by the time Arya gets there. Elia and Lyanna are entwined on the couch. Angui and Lem have set up a pong table in the backyard, and she hears shouts and laughter as they aim their ping pong balls at the red plastic cups full of beer. Arya arrives later than she would have liked. It's always hard to tell whether Jack and Luke's parties are going to be the sort that get started right at 9, or the sort that don't really get fun until 2 in the morning. Tonight seems to be one of the former, and she drifts through the house, pushing through crowds of people from the rowing team or rugby, loud and drunk already, trying to locate Ned or Gendry or Shireen. Instead, she finds Sansa. She shouldn't be surprised that Sansa's here. Shouldn't be surprised at all. It's not like she hasn't been at Harrenhal the whole year. But somehow it's still jarring for her to be there. And Arya's not sure she likes it.
Hello, you.
Sansa smiles down at her. Arya's wearing heels, and Sansa is still taller than her, her auburn hair falling in waves over her shoulders. She'd cut it recently, and it stops just above her breasts.
I like the haircut, Arya says, grinning.
I think it's the first time it's ever been shorter than yours, Sansa says, reaching over and tugging Arya's ponytail.
Arya flinches in an exaggerated way, and Sansa is quick to apologize.
Sorry, I'm a little... She waves her plastic cup. And don't know my own strength.
Right, Arya says dryly.
I like this top, Sansa says. Very sexy.
That was rather the point.
Are you aiming for a boy?
Sansa asks quickly, excitedly, and Arya wonders if she's looking for a distraction. Ned's not nearby at all.
I wasn't really, no. I just like reminding everyone that I've got a lovely back.
She shrugs.
I could never get away with going braless,
Sansa says enviously. Arya gives a pointed glance to Sansa's chest. She has some of the nicest breasts Arya's ever seen. Nicer, even, than Elia's.
I suppose the grass is always greener, she says, shrugging.
Her breasts are so small she doesn't even bother with bras most days. Waste of money. She owns sports bras because if she's moving fast, she feels uncomfortable. But for everything else, sometimes she wishes that she had breasts like Sansa's, the sort that everyone stares at, even though they know they're not supposed to. She always feels silly thinking this, though. Silly because she's the athletic one. Isn't she supposed to not want to look pretty and dress up and maybe find someone who will stare at her tits like they're the god's gift to mankind? She's not supposed to want that, right? It puts her head in circles and she wants alcohol. But she hasn't made her way to the kitchen yet, so she plucks Sansa's cup from her hands and takes a sip before nearly gagging. "Why did you put so much grenadine in this?" she demands. "I like grenadine," says Sansa. "Ugh, I'm gonna get my own." She turns around and marches to the kitchen table, on which she finds Jack and Luke's collection of alcohol, and pours some tequila into a plastic cup for a shot, looking around for lime and some salt. She's just located the lime when Gendry appears next to her, or over her more, because even in her heels, he's still taller than her by a mile. He doesn't say anything as she moves around the kitchen, just leans against the sink and watches her. "And here I was hoping you'd help me be the sober one at the party." He sighs dramatically as she sets the lime on the table and marches over to the cabinet. Luke's a foodie, and she has a feeling that they keep their cooking salt away from the partygoers. "Sorry about that," she sighs, locating a container of kosher salt and pouring some into her palm. "You're on your own tonight." "Yeah, figured that would probably be the case. Next time I'll keep you company. It's just..." She thinks of Sansa and her perfect breasts and licks her wrist, tipping some salt on it. "Not tonight." "You're not drinking to escape stuff, are you?" Gendry asks pointedly. She smiles at him. He doesn't drink anymore, except the odd beer every now and then, because a single beer won't get him drunk. He doesn't talk about why very often, but Arya can guess. Usually people only have the one reason for not drinking. "Nah, just blowing off steam," she replies. "AQ is kicking my ass, and Bran's having trouble with a girl." She licks the salt and throws the tequila into her mouth, popping the lime between her teeth and squeezing the juice onto her tongue, as Gendry asks. "His soulmate's sister?" "That's the one." "Does she have her own soulmate?" "Apparently." "Lucky Bran." "Lucky Bran," Arya agrees. Then, because she's not quite swaying enough, and she's got some salt left, she licks her wrist again and deposits it in place, pouring herself another shot of tequila. "How much steam are you blowing off?" Gendry asks. He's trying not to sound judgy. She knows he is. It's odd. He only ever really gets annoyed when she drinks to excess. He doesn't give a shit when it's anyone else. Maybe it's because she's small and he's worried she doesn't know her own tolerance. More likely, it's just that protective thing he's done since they first met in her freshman year. She likes it, that he's protective of her. It's not overbearing to her. It might be if he wasn't so determined not to let himself be. But he is, so it's not. She smiles at him and raises her wrist to her lips again. "Enough," she replies and takes the shot. Gendry's lips twitch. "AQ that bad, then?" "Fuck, can we not talk about it?" she moans as she puts the lime between her teeth, and the smile breaks across Gendry's face. "What, you like my pain?" she demands, keeping the lime in her mouth this time. It's got less juice after this shot, and she wants as much flavor as she can get. "Nah, you just look funny with that lime between your lips." She rolls her eyes as he laughs. It's not his warmest laugh, though. She can tell even through the sting of tequila in her mouth, and she narrows her eyes. "You all right that I'm drinking?" she asks. "I'll get over it," he replies. "My issue, not yours. Do what you like." But he's hunched over now, and she knows what that hunch means. It means he's uncomfortable, and the question bubbles to her lips before she can stop it. "When did you stop?" His eyes widen at her, and she realizes that she's never asked. Not once. Berated him for drinking beer, even though he doesn't get drunk from it, yes. And made sure he never touches hard liquor at a party for all her teasing. Absolutely. But ask him why he stopped? She never has. "Freshman year," he says, just before you got here. Just, yeah. He jerks his head slightly, and she can tell he doesn't want to talk about it. She isn't surprised. Not at all. And she feels silly for having asked the question at all. Well, she says, and goes over to him. And damn it, she's swaying. She wouldn't be swaying if she were wearing sneakers. Why is she wearing these damn heels anyway? It's brave of you being here then. Being at any of these. She hugs him. It's a quick hug. A friendly one. But she still feels the way his hand rises up to the small of her back. Hot against her skin as she does. When she pulls away, he's looking down at her. And there's a softness around his eyes that she's not used to. Thanks. It means a lot, coming from you. What's that supposed to mean? She demands. He shrugs. You've just gotta... Well, it means a lot, all right? Is he blushing? He can't be. It must just be hot in here. It is hot in here. She's glad her top doesn't have a back. At least she gets a breeze that way. Thanks, she says. And because she doesn't really know what else to do, pours herself another shot of tequila and takes it, sticking another lime square in her mouth and sucking down the juice. They wander through the party after that. They play a round of beer pong against Lem and Tom, who squabble like an old married couple. Arya drinks all of the beer that Gendry won't touch. You shouldn't be drinking all of that, Arya. I'll be fine, she says, drinking down a cupful and making a face. Ugh, ugh, this tastes like shit. You could not drink it, Gendry says. I'm not. You're not because you don't drink more than one beer. I also have too much self-respect to put Rowan Ribbon anywhere near my lips. Thank you very much. And frankly, I'm disappointed you would. Snob. Oh, please. Like I'm a snob. You are, she snaps. You're a bigger snob than I am, that's for sure. Gendry laughs in astonishment and turns away from her and lands a ping pong ball in Lem's cup and smirks at Lem's muttered complaint that it's not fair if Gendry isn't even drinking. They finish the round, then play another, and by the end of two games, the ground definitely isn't flat anymore, and the sky is lopsided, and Gendry grabs her by the elbow and frog marches her into the kitchen, where he shoves a huge glass of water into her hand. Thank you, she slurs at him. Drink your water, he commands, and she does. It tastes very bland after the beer, or maybe less bland than the beer. Rowan Ribbon is cheap fucking shit, so she can't quite tell. One of them definitely is more bland, and she'd ask Gendry, but he'd call her stupid for asking, so she doesn't. She just keeps drinking the water. When she finishes the glass, he fills it again and hands her another one. I'm gonna pee all over the floor if you keep giving me water after all the beer and tequila, she says. Well, if you need to pee, there's a perfectly good toilet through there, he says, pointing. Do you need to? She considers for a moment, then nods and stumbles across the kitchen, Gendry trailing after her. I can pee on my own, thank you, she tells him when she reaches the bathroom. I'm well aware, just making sure you didn't fall and break your nose in those shoes. How kind of you, she says. She closes the door in his face, fiddles with her jeans, and sits down. How's life? Really? Gendry snorts, his voice muffled through the door. You're asking me this while peeing, and not while we were, you know, doing other things? Well, it didn't occur to me to ask then. Answer the question. Life's fine. That's good. I'm talking to recruiters. Even through the door and the drunken haze of her brain, she can tell that his voice sounds edgy. Recruiters? Arya says blankly. For the National Leagues, for playing professionally. She wishes she could see his face. This is just like talking to her soulmate, oddly enough. Even their voices sort of sound the same. But that's stupid. Voices sound similar all the time. Rob sounds like Dad when he calls, and she gets them confused if she doesn't look at the name sometimes. So Gendry sounds like her soulmate. Big deal. At the same, she doesn't have to rely on only his voice. She can see his face because it's not a dream. So when she's finished peeing and flushing and pulling her pants back up, she opens the door and smiles up at him. I'm sure you'll get to choose. You're too good not to. His face almost seems to brighten as she says it, and she's never noticed the way his eyes crinkle when he smiles. She reaches up and gives him another hug, and she likes the feeling of her breasts pressing against his chest. And she remembers the excitement of Sansa's, are you aiming for a boy? She could pull with Gendry. She definitely could. Gods know he's got a good body. But they're friends, and he's got his own soulmate somewhere. And besides, she's definitely not sober and shouldn't be allowed to make decisions like that. How would you know? You've never seen me play. He asks, a crooked smile playing at his lips. She's never really noticed how red his lips are. But they are. Very red. She's drunk. And just because she's drunk does not give her a good reason to think like this. I just do, all right? How could you not be? He opens his mouth to speak, but a drunken, slurred voice cuts him off. Look, if you don't want to be here, go then. I'll keep having fun with my friends and you can go to sleep. Arya whirls around. It's Ned, and she can see from the color in his cheeks and the glaze on his eyes that he's very drunk. No, I want to be here. I want to be with you, Sansa says quietly, reaching for his hands. I just what? He demands. Arya's never once heard Ned speaking this way to Sansa. Not once. And it sounds almost like Joffrey. And she could kill him, because he knows better than that. She will kill him, actually. So she pushes past Gendry towards her sister. Sansa's face compresses, and she looks about to cry. Ned? Gendry interrupts, his arms crossed over his chest. She hadn't realized that he'd followed her. But she's not surprised. He's been with her all night. And she's glad of that right now. Glad he's there with her. She knows nothing will go wrong if Gendry's there. Oh, piss off, mate. This has nothing to do with you. Ned says, glaring at him. And Arya opens her mouth to tell him to piss off. But Gendry speaks before she even has a chance to. His voice low and urgent. Ned, don't say things you'll regret in the morning. This isn't like you. He sounds so stern, and Ned turns to face him, opens his mouth to give him a piece of his mind, then thinks better of it. And then his face crumples, and he sinks down to the linoleum of the kitchen floor and starts to cry. Gendry's eyes widen in astonishment, but Sansa steps around Arya, crouches down next to Ned, wrapping her arms around him and whispering, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I know. As he turns his head into the crook of her neck and clutches at her like she's the source of life, Arya's sure it's the alcohol that makes her wonder if her soulmate would ever cling to her like that. I miss you, he says. I'm sorry, I'm shit, I shouldn't do this. I'm making it worse for both of us. Fuck, I'm an asshole. Fuck, Sansa. And they're both trembling, sitting there on the floor and trembling. And Gendry grabs Arya's arm and whispers, Let's give them space, shall we? She stares at them for a moment, curled up on the floor and crying together. Everything in a thousand knots that they couldn't quite untie. And then follows Gendry onto the back porch. Merit is playing putting foot, and neither of them look even close to sober. And Gendry sighs. That back there is why I don't drink anymore. What? Arya asks. There are a lot of things I don't like about Ned, but I'll say this for him. He's not one to treat Sansa badly. He's careful about that. And he knows what the situation is, and it's shitty, and he tries to handle it well. And I commend him for that, I do. Arya looks back into the kitchen. Sansa and Ned are still on the floor, but Ned stopped crying now. But he looks thoroughly miserable. Gendry continues. Like that. If they can't sort that out, that's going to turn into emotional abuse really fast. If that moment doesn't constitute it already, and Ned doesn't want that, and my understanding is that Sansa's had enough of that in her life.
Sandor was what got her through Joffrey, Arya says sadly. I don't know if she's ever told Ned that, though. How do you tell your soulmate stuff like that? Like, hello, darling soulmate, whom I love dearly. I love you, but there's my other soulmate, and they mean something completely different. I still love you, but I also love him.
Gendry grimaces. Yeah, not fun. I don't envy her that. It's a shit situation.
He frowns.
And honestly, if my soulmate had a second soulmate, I don't know what I'd do.
Arya thinks of the baseball field in her dreams, and the way her soulmate swivels his hips when he's lining up at bat, and wonders what she'd do if the nights she didn't dream with him were nights when he was off dreaming with someone else. Maybe that other someone could see his face. Maybe he'd like her more, be more open with her. Maybe they were more than just baseball.
Yeah, she mutters sadly. Yeah.
She looks away, out at the pong table. Dick's playing Cynthia now.
Sometimes I think soulmates just fuck everything up, you know? Like, Bran's screwed up over his, Sansa's screwed up over hers, Dad cheated on Mom even though she's his soulmate, Rob broke Rosalind's heart because he found Jane. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm not in a hurry to find mine in the real world. The real world is messy. Dreams aren't.
I guess that's fair, he says.
He leans against the porch railing and looks in at the house. Arya follows his gaze. Sansa and Ned are both smiling now, and he's running his hands through her hair.
You've never been in love, have you?
She snaps her head towards him. There's something strange about his tone, and she doesn't quite understand it. And the softness in his eyes from earlier is gone, replaced with something else.
No. No, I don't want to. I don't want to hurt anyone.
Gendry nods slowly.
So you're waiting for him?
No, I don't want to hurt anyone.
She looks back at Sansa and Ned. Sansa's standing, and she's pulling Ned to his feet. And together they cross to the porch.
Arya, can I crash at yours tonight?
Sansa asks purposefully. Arya glances at Ned, who nods, looking equally determined.
Sure, Arya says. I'll see you later, she says to Gendry.
You sober enough to walk? He asks.
I've got her, says Sansa. If she's not, she adds quickly.
Arya rolls her eyes pointedly at both of them.
I'll be fine.
Catch tomorrow? Gendry suggests as she's turning away.
Sure thing, she smiles, and she and Sansa head out.
Things all right? She asks when they reach the street.
Yeah, I think so, Sansa says. He's just been sitting on a lot of things because he doesn't want to upset me. And that, yeah.
So you coming with me tonight?
It was his idea, Sansa says. He thinks, given how shit-faced he is right now, I should go somewhere else in case he's stupid again.
Sansa, Arya begins, but she doesn't know what to say.
Look, I know what you're thinking. I know what everyone's thinking, but I'll say this for Sandor. I know how to deal with drunk, crying men who consider me a balm for their aches and pains.
She lets out a bitter laugh.
Oh, boy, do I know how to deal with that. Ned's just low, all right, and he'll make it up to me when he's not. This, she waves a hand back in the direction of the house, this isn't Ned.
This is me. She looks suddenly sad. It's not you if it's not your fault, Arya says. Don't go blaming yourself for. I'm not blaming myself, Sansa says quickly. I'm stating a fact. Ned's confused because I am. If I weren't... Sansa, says Arya, alarmed. Sansa, do you hear yourself? Do you know what it sounds like you're saying? Does Sansa know how much she's lying to herself right now? Sansa's always been a liar, but this is a whole new brand of it. Usually her lies are not like this. They're like when she didn't tell people that Arya was only defending Micah and that she hadn't started that fight that had landed her in suspension. Sansa hadn't seen when she had Arya knew it, but she lied. And now she's lying again and trying to make Arya believe it. And Arya feels sick because she didn't think she could hate Sansa lying more than she already did. But this is worse because this doesn't hurt someone else. It hurts herself. Sansa looks at her. And for the first time in what feels like years, she sees how scared Sansa looks. What am I supposed to do? She asks. And her eyes are bright and tears are streaming down her face. What am I supposed to do? In her life, she's never wanted more to go to the baseball field in her dreams and throw pitches at her soulmate. And maybe just go over and hug him. Not the way she'd hugged Gendry, quick and friendly. But the sort of hug that would crush ribs if they weren't in a dream. And if he's not there, then she can pitch against a wall until her arms and legs hurt. But as she slips to sleep, she doesn't go to the baseball field. She's lying on a bed next to Gendry, and they're only in their underwear, and he doesn't even say a word. He just kisses her, his hand at the small of her back, and the hair of his chest rubbing against her breasts. He moans into her mouth, and she reaches up and runs her fingers through his hair, pulling herself closer to him, rolling him over so she feels the weight of him pressing down on her as they rock their hips against one another. And it feels so remarkably good, so remarkably right. And her heart is pounding in her throat, and every single desire to be playing baseball with her soulmate evaporates as Gendry's hand comes between her legs, and she clutches at him.